Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 507. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
But not by Craig. Damn you, Craig.
He said that, and he joined us for a split second, and then ran away. So, sorry, no Craig. Jeff is here, though.
Hello.
Nobody knows who Craig is. That's the funny part here. Craig is our recording bot. Gives us slightly better audio quality than what you're listening to right now, most likely. Earl, not here. He will be showing up at some point, hopefully. And he better, because he made me play these demos. and he's not here to talk about them. But before we jump into that, Splinter Cell's coming back, guys.
Oh, really?
As a Netflix cartoon.
Yeah, just what I always wanted.
There you go, Jeff. You're getting your Splinter Cell.
They're doing everything except making a Splinter Cell game.
Yes.
They put them in every other fucking game. Like, there's some Splinter Cell reference in every game. They're doing a cartoon.
Yeah, it's funny. I was playing a little bit of Wildlands, and like there's like references to Splinter Cell in there.
Yeah. Far Cry, all of them. And the last game was Blacklist, and that came out, and I'm looking it up right now, 2013. So 7 years since the last Splinter Cell.
And that was a 360 PS3 game, right?
Yeah, and Wii U.
Oh, yeah, but last gen, like...
Yeah.
So we have not had one this generation.
Yeah, what the fuck?
No Silent Hill either.
Oh, no.
Different companies, but...
Also, back to Ubisoft, I mean, Prince of Persia, like, Beyond Good and Evil, I know they're supposedly making that, but...
No, that's a myth. That game does not exist. I think if that game was a real thing, we'd have seen it by now.
They would have, I would imagine, showed something this year, right? Like, for sure, finally.
You'd think, but they are having another event, so maybe we'll see it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it may also be a next-gen title now.
Right.
Because, I don't know. That never ends up working out, though. Those games always suck when they're designed for one-gen, and then, oh, next-gen. And then they're designed for that gen. Oh, wait, we didn't finish it. Oh, next gen. Those games always suck when they take that long.
And probably. It just feels like they've taken so long with this, regardless, that, like, I don't know, man. I wanted a sequel when it first came out. What is that? Fucking, like, almost 20 years now? Who cares anymore?
It was, like, what, 2005, 2006? Like, it's been a long, long time.
I'd say probably way earlier than that. I'll find out.
And when they showed those trailers, Jeff, you weren't like, yes, this is what I want, right?
No, I don't think most people were. Like, it right. Didn't really look like, you know, what that game was, you know?
No one remembers what it was by now. It's just a myth.
It is a 2003 game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
17 years.
I mean, at this point, no matter what it looked like, it would look absolutely nothing like. Games have evolved and changed so much since then. There's no way that it would have any more than a passing resemblance, right?
Yeah, it's just.
I bet it's open world, and there's towers.
Because it's an Ubisoft game.
Yes.
They all have open world and towers now.
Earl. Thank you for joining us.
Or not.
He's here
hitting
in the
on
room.
Us again. Yeah, he's here, but he's not. He's listening to what we're saying.
It's like I'm just
we should
not,
be mocking
not responding.
Him at this point.
I don't know if he can hear us or not. That's the funny part.
Screw you, Earl. Screw you.
I wanted to see what... Oh, nope, he left. Just like Craig.
He heard me insulted.
Fine, guys. Yeah. I'm out. So That's the Splinter Cell we're getting, guys. I guess that's good. Earl, are you there?
I think so now.
All right.
That was the first time I've seen Discord do that, so.
Discord is acting very weird tonight. Craig won't join us, so I had to come up with an alternate solution.
What's the alternate solution?
I'm using OBS.
Oh, fancy.
It took me a little while to figure out how to do it, but it's currently working, and we're talking about Splinter Cell, the cartoon.
Yes, I saw that, and I'm just like, oh, somebody got these things confused. This is so animated. But good on them for reviving a brand that has not been around in almost a decade. So.
Yeah, has Jeff, it been that long? My
Jeff,
God.
Jeff just told me it was 2013, Jeff?
Yeah, I think
2003. Exactly. Oh, Splinter
Cell.
Good and Evil was 2003.
Yeah, 2013.
Yeah, just a whole generation. Whole generation lost. I don't think anything else really dropped game news wise. And that just happened today. Microsoft Flight Simulator getting good reviews, so nice on that. It's been quiet. There was no event this week, so that was a nice change. Not E3, did not continue into this week.
Thank God.
So it gave us time to play some games, maybe.
Yeah, we did. So many games.
Yeah, and there is a bunch here to talk about. I guess let's talk about Jeff's game first. That's Jeff's game of the year, Tony. tell us about that one so that
the game is called Imperator. I've talked on the show a number of times about Europa Universalis, which is Paradox's core franchise. This game is basically that concept, but moved to the Roman era. So you pick a nation in the Roman era, any of them. It's not the entire globe. It doesn't go quite that far, but it's like any nation from like Africa, Europe, or most of Asia, all the way through like India. It doesn't include China for some reason. And you guide that nation through like 400 years of history. It's an interesting concept, so I picked Rome because, you know, Rome becomes the most powerful nation of that era, and we'll mess around. But you start off, you're this like little piddly tiny Rome, and you're squabbling with your neighbors, and as you absorb them and expand, you become like a giant superpower. Interestingly, the bigger you get, the more abilities your nation gets, which is kind of a cool concept. So you start off, you're like a local power, and then you can become a regional power, which lets you like lean on the people who are around you. And then you become a global power, and now you can form alliances and pressure nations to release territories to you and that kind of stuff. So you kind of like level your country up by getting bigger, which is a fun concept.
Yeah.
The game has a lot of elements that make it very historically accurate and interesting. So Rome historically had this problem where successful generals would get the loyalty of their troops and then start demanding stuff from the Republic. And eventually Rome fell because of that. So I had this case where I had a general in charge of an army. He'd won a bunch of battles. His troops really loved him. I was going to war in Macedonia. So I had moved his army down to Ostia, which is the port city outside of Rome. I'm going to embark it on some ships. And he's like, no. And the game like takes the army that I have control over and takes it out of my control. And he just marches off into the countryside. Like, damn you, I was going to send your army to go help me invade Macedonia. Where are you going? And you have a bunch of options of what you can do at this point. You can try to appease him by like buying him off with bribes, or you can like give him a free hand to do whatever you want. And I had already done both of these things with him, and he was still like trying to do whatever he felt like at any time. So I brought him to trial. So that meant that I call, you know, you call the Senate into session, and you can literally take this guy and have him tried and, you know, put to death or whatever. So the trial causes a bunch of events to happen. And like, I'm appeasing people and trying to get them on my side during the trial, and I'm about to win. And then he escapes and takes his army off into rebellion and starts a civil war. So now I'm spending this entire game fighting the civil war. And the civil war lasts for like 10 years. It's like this epic conflict. He takes basically all of my really good troops into rebellion and my entire navy. So of course I was going to war in Macedonia, and I had a couple of armies over there who didn't rebel. But since he took my entire army or my entire navy into rebellion, they were stuck there. So I had to like form this army and fight this guerrilla war to eventually, you know, I was eventually after 10 years victorious. But it was like this really epic conflict, and the game is like really fun, like really engrossing and that kind of stuff. So I ended up spending basically my entire weekend playing this game because it was just really, really good. But there's lots of really cool elements there. If you like Rome, you'll really love this game. If you like strategy games, it's just got it all.
It's definitely sounds like a Jeff game.
Total Jeff game, totally. It does have like, you're not just managing a country. Like there are a whole lot of people involved. So you have like there's four big families in Rome, and you have to spend a lot of time like balancing who gets which position in the government to make sure all the families are appeased. And if they're not appeased, they could, again, cause a civil war or something. Interestingly, since I've played a lot of these games, I know that if you fight a civil war and you lose, that's actually not the end of the game. The winning side will then take over the government after having done a bunch of stuff, and then you'll have to like figure things out from there. It's kind of funny when you get to these civil war situations. Like, I could have just given up because I was in a really hard spot. So I could have just let, like, this rogue general take over the government, and maybe instead of being a republic, we'd end up becoming a monarchy or, like, an empire with an emperor.
Okay.
But instead, I, like, fought him into submission. So it was kind of a cool thing, like, trying to preserve the republic and see if I can, like, maintain it. Instead of allowing Rome to be taken over by an emperor, like it eventually was. So, I don't know. I've been having a lot of fun with it.
Neat. Jeff, waiting to play that one.
Jeff,
I can't wait.
He's like, I got to buy a computer now so I can play this game.
That's
what I was just thinking.
It's free on Game Pass, so you have Game Pass. You're all set.
See, I'm already halfway there.
There you go. He's got to get that computer. Earl, speaking of Game Pass, you played Grounded this week.
I did play Grounded this week.
Did you put it into arachnophobia mode?
I did not. I don't necessarily have a fear of spiders, so I am fascinated by the concept of that. For those who don't know, arachnophobia mode in Grounded is for people who are afraid of spiders. There are different sizes and classes of spiders. You can change to, because spiders are a natural enemy in this game. So if you fear them, you know, they if you obviously them. I will Grounded is essentially Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the video game. And it's a resource gathering survival. So you go around collecting twigs, staff, and leaves, all these other equipment. And you use that to craft stuff so you can craft candy, you can craft hammers and stuff like that. And then you use that, you use the hammer to break down certain stuff. You use the axe to break down different trees and different park, and use that stuff to build a fort. Store your food, store, it, you know, it's a survival thing. So part of it, you have a health meter and you have a stamina meter, but you also have a hunger and water meter. So if you run out of food or you haven't eaten in a while, your character will get hungry and start to lose health. Same thing with water. You can refill water by drinking supplies of water. You can eat food. Like you can eat mushrooms, various different stuff. The water is fascinating because, again, you're in the backyard. So you might find like a puddle, but it might be like a mud puddle. You can drink it, and it will regain, it will quench your thirst, but it will damage your hunger because you're drinking something that you're not supposed to.
No, don't do that. You do it all the time.
But that again, there are some cute elements to that, and I know I'm just rambling on to this. But like for instance, with the water, there are cases in the backyard. Again, it's the backyard of a home. So, like, for instance, a juice box now becomes this huge supply of water. And, like, one drop from that juice box should fill you up, and then you can store extra. You can find, I found the soda can. You can go inside the soda can. If there's any soda left in there, you can drink some of that up as well. So, I like the scale of it. I think it's kind of cute. A lot of stuff is naturally scaled to the size. You're about the size. In the game, let's see, the big animals you fight. You're about the size of a fire ant, give or take. So those are one of the types of enemies you fight. You fight gnats, you fight wasps, and of course you fight giant spiders. So I tried it out with a friend. It's up to 4 players co-op. So I tried it out with another friend, and we built a fort. How you build a fort or how you build anything that's kind of standing is you can build it. You can kind of sketch it out in your head and put the down, and then you have to go and get the actual pieces. So it's not like you need them on hand, but you do. Like it's like, okay, in order to build the wall, you need four like leaf stalks or something like that. And oddly enough, it's one of those things that I guess makes sense. You can't actually put it in your pocket, so you have to carry. You can only carry 5 of them. So you carry that over, you build it on the wall. So as we're doing this, we're building the wall. You got almost all the walls done. I decided I'm getting hungry, so I'm gonna sit down to cook some food. And I had I forgot what I killed, but it goes on the roast and it was spinning around. And I guess my cooking drew the attention of a local spider. I knew there were spiders in the area, but they weren't bothering us. We weren't bothering them. I thought we were kosher. I thought we were good. And I turned around. My friend's like, "Oh my gosh, you're being attacked by a spider!" And like we're like, "Oh, we're safe. We're inside of our walls." No, that is not how it works. Because the spider's taller than your walls, and it is only made of grass, so they start breaking it down. And it is super terrifying because a spider towers over you in that game. And it's got its feet and like the two pincers in the front. So like what we ended up doing was kind of trapping it in between the buildings. So my friend was attacking the front, and I went around the back and just started poking it with my spear. And eventually we did kill the spider. What was funny about that, though, is part of it got gitched into our camp. So like, as we're finishing up the game, you just see like, the spider like twitching on the camp. It was really gross. But
early access.
Yes, early access. And they are proud of that. They tell you, give them any feedback that you can. But right now, I can say I had some fun with it. I don't necessarily know if it's my type of game, but it is something that I would enjoy with friends. Just the whole aspect of going around, building stuff, fighting these enemies, and just seeing stuff from a different perspective, I guess. And we just kind of open up like where you start getting missions and stuff to do. So I'm curious to see how that evolves over the course of the game.
Neat.
Does it turn you guys off from early access games when they don't have achievements?
Yes. It's like, there have been early access games that have had achievements, and
yeah.
This is just one. It's like, well, if we start playing it and we start making some progress, and I'm sure they're going to reset the progress, so that's another issue entirely. But then it's like, if we get kicked back all the way to the beginning of the game when it finally launches, it's like, well, I've already played it for 20 hours or so.
Right.
So
yeah, and I guess I would make fun of Chris because this is one of the reasons I actually never cared about trophies is because like by the time trophies came on the PlayStation 4, I'd beaten a lot of games. And they're like, oh yeah, we're going to patch. I'm like, I beat this game already. Why am I going back?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's, it's not necessarily that, like, I don't want to play it, but it's, you know, I do like to get those little trinkets that for playing the game.
Right. I like my credit. I would, honestly, there are a lot of games that pop up on early access where I'm like, I definitely want to play this, but I have this other game that I also want to play that has achievements, so I'll play that instead.
Jeff, any thoughts on achievements?
I don't know. I think I'm naturally averse to early access games, achievement or no achievement.
Just in general.
Because they're not finished?
Yeah, I'm just kind of... I mean, if this is something I really, really wanted to play, then I would check it out. But, yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah, I don't know.
I like the look of it.
You know, one of the few reasons I'll buy like a multi-platform game on Xbox over Switch is because of the achievements. So I guess they do matter to me a little bit.
It's just something neat that, like, when I like getting that chime or that little, like, hey, you did something cool in a game.
Yeah.
So Earl, you're not sure if it's your type of game, but you do think that you play it with other people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the quarantine that showed me. I would play a lot of stuff with friends. But if it was me on my own, like, the whole, like, you know, gather resources, build this thing, use that thing to build other things. It's a loop that does it. Because, like, the thing with it is, like, sometimes it's, like, you have to find, like, this one thing, and it's, like, that one thing is in an area. So you're scavenging this entire area to find. Like, for instance, in order to... It's a process where you have to go in and it's dark, so we have to find Seth, and I'm like, where is Seth at? And like, I didn't find any Seth, my friend did. They made the torch, we did that thing, and then like maybe 20, 30 minutes later, I found Seth. I'm like, oh, okay, I have Seth now, but I don't need it anymore. I could use it, but it's just kind of like, I think if a video game is going to ask me to do a challenge, I want to make sure the stuff that I need is nearby, or have some direction about, oh yeah, I saw this like 10 minutes ago, I can go back here.
That's fair. Jeff, have you played any anything new this week?
No, mostly just Paper Mario. But I will say, I mean, I was telling you guys this before the show, but I think the boss fights in that game are awesome, and like, you know, awesome enough to like be a reason to play the game, I think. I don't know.
Nice. How far are you?
I just finished, good lord, like the Shogun Theater. Like,
oh yeah, that's my favorite segment of the game so far, with the rubber band performer.
I actually like the boss before him, like the water vellum, because like you had to really think about like how we were lining shit up, because if you left, like, you not only had to think, okay, I want to hit this thing to activate this and then end up here. Like, you had to think about where you put those spaces, because you would send out those fucking, like, tornadoes or whatever
that
wipe out the squares. So, like, I just found that really interesting. It was, like, a fucking almost kind of complex, like, board game thing going on. I don't know.
Yeah,
I really
why,
dig the game.
That's why I wish the boss battles, they were, or there was a... I mean, I guess that's what makes them special, but I wish there was a way that they incorporated some of that element into the actual battle system. Because, like, I know people are like, oh, battles don't matter, whatever. But I do like how... I mean, I like the battle system. I think it's fine on its own. But I really like the boss aspect of it, where it's, like, that reverse puzzle where you're trying to figure out, like, how to get Mario into position. And then, like, with that one in particular, because that's the water one, right?
Yeah.
And then learning, like, okay, now you have to get him into position, but you also have to learn how to, like, okay, I have this other element. How do I use it to counter... the attack.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the boss fights. I mean, at the very least, there's like, it seems so, like, you know, that's, I'm pretty much through the first two levels. It seems like there's like two boss fights, big boss fights per level. Like, there's one to get access to the, you know, temple or whatever, and then there's one at the end of the temple. And yeah, I'm honestly surprised like how much I really do love that game so far.
Nice. Go ahead.
I'm gonna talk your ear off about it. Just yeah, I think that so far it's like a nice surprise.
Earl, anything else to add on that one?
I was gonna say that, and I think I mentioned this last week. I'm still at awe at how good the music in the game is. Like, I think some of the tracks here are just like they're very on Mario sounding at times, and they're so great. And I love that. And again, you'll see in the third area. I think, and I understand the roots of it. I have Paper Mario, I have the Thousand Year Door, one of my all-time favorite games. But I think, you know, people have to see it. This franchise is no longer an RPG, and I think this is the one that really solidifies it as, like, this is kind of like a puzzle adventure game. This is, like, yeah. This is Zelda-ite in many ways.
And honestly, the old Paper Marios are basically that, too. It's just you fucking level up, or, you know, and you still level up here. Like, you fucking... It's just more Zelda style. Like, you, like, okay, you find a heart that now you have 20 plus X or HP. Like, I don't know. I think people need to get over. I think a lot of people are just, like, judging this game without having played it and missing out on a game they probably like.
Yeah, and I think, and part of it is, it's kind of fair. It is, you know, this is the root. This is why people enjoyed this franchise, but at the same time, it's the last game in this mode that you wanted was what, 18 years ago?
Yeah, about that. So, ways off there.
Yeah, so.
Alright, well, Paper Mario seems like a good time. Going back to Game Pass, I played Carrion. Did you guys hear this one?
I saw it was available for download. I did not touch it.
Yeah, so it is a 2D pixelated, like, kind of looks like Super Nintendo-y-ish quality, that type of art style. But you play as a alien organism that escapes from a military facility, military lab, and you try to escape. And it's been referred to as, like, reverse horror, like, where you play the monster, basically. And best way to describe the monster is, I guess, Carnage or Venom from Spider-Man, but more blob-like. Like, not human form, but if, like, you know, Carnage just had the, you know, the tendrils everywhere and, like, giant jaws. This kind of blob-like symbiote is crawling through this facility, eating people and trying to figure out a way out. It's actually a puzzle game, like, ultimately, is what...
People?
Yeah, you eat people. That's how you get your health back. You eat people. You can, like, use your tendrils to grab them and throw them around, or later on you'll need to grab, like, drones and throw them to destroy them. But you'll get upgrades as you go along. You'll evolve, and in doing so, your biomass will, like, enlarge as well. So you start off with, like, 4 or 5 hit points. When you get the next one, you now have, like, I think it's, like, 8 or 10. And then it jumps all the way up to, like, either 12 or 15, like, we're near this big, giant mass. But when you're that big, like, you have different skills. So you have to drop off some of your biomass every once in a while to kind of devolve to figure out the puzzles that are in the area.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, like, it's not just, like, oh, get bigger, bigger, bigger. It's, all right, like, if you are the middle size, you can push. But if you are the... if you're the giant size, you can actually use your tendrils and, like, claw in and pull things towards you. If you're the first one, the first size, you can actually, like, you have, like, this, you can kind of spit a tendril out and utilize that to pull levers and stuff. But you can't do that when you're bigger, so you have to you know, you have to gauge where you want to drop. But doing that also puts you in danger. I don't know. It was. I had a lot of fun with it. I played all the way through it. It took about 6.5 hours. I enjoyed it. It was fun. Like, it's just the exact opposite of kind of everything else that's out there. It's just, hey, go eat these scientists like that, you know, have imprisoned you. Yeah, you just.
You said it's on Game Pass?
It's on Game Pass, yeah.
It's also on everything else, but yes, Game Pass is.
Yes, it's on PC, it's on Switch, but it's Game Pass is free, so. Well, not free, but part of the sub service.
Bought into the ecosystem.
Exactly.
Is it, like, I'm looking at it, is it like a Metroid type game, or is it just.
Yep, yes. So it's a giant map that you are exploring, and. Like you're going through and trying to, you know, make your way to each of these different areas, and sometimes you have to find, basically, you find upgrades just like Metroid, which will make you bigger or give you new abilities to use in the evolution you have. It's kind of cool.
Looks cool.
It's something different. So. I don't know. I just, like, this is fun. Like, just squirming around and just trying to figure out the puzzles. Like, it's not, oh, I don't want it to be precision here. It's just, how do I beat, like, how do I get through this area? How do I destroy these? At some point, you're fighting mechs. So it's like, all right, the best strategy here might be to, like, kind of, like, let them walk by. You jump up for a second, grab a piece off of the mech, and then go hide on the other side. Like, so you're playing back and forth, but the enemies also get more complicated. Like there's security guys, they have shields, and originally they're shooting guns, and then they get flamethrowers and they can light you on fire. So the only way to put the fire out is to find some water. So, then there's the mechs that, they can kind of like home in on you, and they take tons of damage. So you have to like hit them multiple times. Then there's drones, and some of the drones have shields. So, you have to like start figuring out how to get by them, and then also it's like the environmental puzzle of, all right, how do I get from here to here? And it's a good time. So yeah, if it seems like something you'd like, maybe give it a try.
Yeah.
Tony, you played Samurai Stabby Game.
Yes. So Ghost of Tsushima. Last time I had barely got through the tutorial.
Yeah.
Now I've played quite a bit more. I'm still not out of chapter one. I'm not really sure.
Act one.
I think
there's only two acts.
Oh, okay.
So
because I'm getting caught up in the other storylines,
which I think are the best.
Which are really interesting and, you know, compelling, because your main character dude is not all that compelling at all. He's very, very wooden. Doesn't. Unemotional, and like there's not a whole lot to him, so you kind of get, like, if you're looking for those like story elements, it's much easier to get them out of the other characters.
Yeah, he's so dry and super serious all the time.
It's really frustrating, actually. I wish that they had like Assassin's Creed games, because this is an Assassin's Creed game, I'm not gonna lie, normally have like humorous elements. Like, one of the best things about Assassin's Creed Odyssey was how funny the main character was in a lot of the situations, but I can't even remember his name.
Jin.
Lord, yeah, okay, Jin. Not funny at all. Like, not interesting. No. Like, I can't imagine why anyone would want to talk to him except that he's the Lord, and they see him and like, oh, hey, you're the Lord. But the other stories are really cool. The one where the woman is the last person of her clan, I really like that. Kind of revenge type deal that is pretty awesome. I don't want to spoil it, but
that was
my favorite quest line.
That was one where I was like, this is Assassin's Creed though. Like, you're doing a follow mission where you can't be spotted.
There are a lot of missions in that where it's totally like you can't be seen, or they will kill whoever, or like following a guy bringing food to whomever. It's Well, lots of Assassin's Creed. This game is Assassin's Creed.
In
almost every way. Like, it has villages held by enemies that you have to, like, kill the enemies to clear and do stuff like burning banners and the normal things that you would do in an Assassin's Creed game to clear those missions. And there are, like, summits to climb. In this case, you're, like, praying at a shrine once you get to the top instead of, you know, making the eagle fly around you, but it's the same thing.
They're fun, and they remind me of, like, classic Assassin's Creed, where you used to have the temples and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, they were, like, because they're not, like, I don't know, new Assassin's Creed, it all almost seems like, oh, here's the you know, the spotlight point where you go up and your eagle flies around. Yeah. But they're not generally difficult to get to. Not that these are either, but they're way more, like, intricate in the platforming design.
Yeah, it's not hard. It's just it takes effort.
Yeah.
To, like, you know, actually do it. But it also doesn't feel as necessary. In, like, in Assassin's Creed, like, you don't know where anything is in an area until you've climbed the tower and looked out. And here you can just, you know, wander the map or, like, talk to people and get, like, rumors of where stuff is and get that stuff added to your map. So, you know, that I think that's a, like, it's Assassin's Creed, but it's a good Assassin's Creed. Like, it's got some elements that you'd really want in there. That's fun. You get to upgrade your character over time as you find stuff and get new moves and new weapons. I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I really am.
Good.
Is it the best? I don't even know that it's better than, like, say, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So I'm not sure. It's probably the best console game I play this year, but I don't necessarily think it's going to be, like, my game of the year type game. Like, I'm still fairly certain I haven't played whatever that game will be yet. But it's good. It's enjoying. I'm enjoying it. Passing good. Time. So.
Earl, you have Resident Evil 6 on this list.
Yes, I do.
Why?
Why? Before we get into Resident Evil 6, I guess I could explain my reason why. this goes back, I think, last summer. I was talking to a friend, and a friend's like, you know, like, I enjoy Resident Evil 5. Actually, it's one of my, I think it's my favorite in the franchise, but that's a different discussion. And I'm like, I've always been curious about Resident Evil 6. So everybody says it's really bad. But my friend's like, you know what? I've been, you know, thinking about playing it again. So I'm like, okay, it was on sale. It's always on sale. It was like $8 or $9 or something like that. I picked it up. I played for like an hour or two with my friend. And like, my friend was just like, nope, I'm out. So I was like, and it's not like there are plenty of games I've played and kind of given up on. I've not gone back to. But I felt like because this was my choice, I wanted to see it through to see how far I would actually get on my own. So during this quarantine, I already put out a tweet, and I said, "Is if anybody else has Resident Evil 6 and hates themselves on PS4, I'm looking for a co-op buddy." So somebody's like, "Yeah, you know, I got it. I don't remember being that bad." So we're like, "Okay, we're gonna do it. We're gonna play Resident Evil 6," and it is not awful. And I know that's always a great starting point.
Not awful.
It's not, but like, it's not a great game. It's what is the best way to the best way to explain Resident Evil 6, I guess, is I spend half of my time with my who's played through the game already before, asking what the hell is going on. I don't know what we're doing, because that story makes no sense whatsoever.
That's
there's
fair.
Really no, there's no transitions. Like, you'll be in, like, Antarctica, and then the next... And it's like, you can't do a cutscene where it's like, oh, we're gonna get on a plane or something like that.
Welcome to Antarctica. We don't know why we're here or what we're doing, but we are here.
Yeah. And then there are times where it's like... We have these three different campaigns, and they intersect at various points. Which I think on paper is a very novel idea, but then this one doesn't make any sense. The characters intersect, and it's like, I don't know what happened, that the acting and the voice work is a step back from previous games. And okay, and that's the setup. The core problem is the game has some really, really, really broken aspects to it. The biggest one to me, and I've said this, I think, when we talked about Anthem, when you shoot enemies, there's hardly any feedback to the fact that you're actually shooting them or hitting them. Like, I could put in, like, 6 or 7 pistol ammo to people, and sometimes they react like I didn't touch them, and other times they act like they're a soccer player and they're dropping all over the place. And when they do that, you can't shoot them because you have to wait for the animation to finish. If you played 4 and 5, they introduced like the Ortegas, and this one is movies, which are the same thing where like if after a while you shoot off people, they'll mutate and stuff like that. And you like while they're mutating, you can't do anything. So it's like, oh, this guy's arm's mutating. Let me shoot his arm off. No, you have to wait for the animation to finish, for that arm to grow, and then you can shoot. When you get shot sometimes, you go flying across the screen, and it's so annoying because it's like, why are we dropping like this? It's at a disadvantage, and then like after that, you have to turn yourself around or get back up, so you waste time reorienting yourself. For some strange reason, there are, like I said, 3 campaigns, 6 different characters. Almost all of them have a different UI. Like, they have the same basic idea, which is like your health, your ammo, how many of, but everybody's is different. Like, Jake has like this 3D element to it. For some odd reason, Chris has kept on going back and forth between the right and left hand of the screen. Who am I playing now? Helena and Eon is very different aesthetically than the other two. And I'm just like, it feels like 3 different people were kind of tasked with making the same different games on the same engine. Because like the fundamental problem of the gameplay remains the same throughout the 3, but like each thing changes it up. Like my least favorite was Chris and Piers, because they're like, oh, we're going to make this into a shooter. It's like, you do not have the engine to make this a shooter. This is really just dreadful and awful, and I hate myself for saying this.
Yes.
But
yeah, mechanically, shooting is not great.
No, not at all. Not at all. And then they do that thing where it's like each character starts off with a certain amount of certain guns. Like, you might start off with like a pistol and a Desert Eagle, or you might start off with, I think Pierre started off with a silent assault rifle and a sniper. And you don't, it's not like other games where it's like, oh, I'm going to start off with this, but I'll pick up better weapons. It's like, there are parts in the chapters where you might get other weapons, but those are your weapons for the course of the campaign. And it's not good. It's kind of annoying, especially if you get gypped. Like, I didn't play in the first campaign of Payday Jake. My friend played as Sherry. Sherry mostly gets a stun gun. She is the port.
Cool.
So,
I just remember that game was excessively long.
Yes. And the worst part about it, I was looking, like you were talking about trophies, achievements earlier. I was just looking at it, and it's like, oh yeah, if you want to, like, the game counts completion as beating each campaign with each of the 2 characters in it on all 4 or 5 of the difficulties. And oh, I'm like, wow. Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
And it's probably one at of those all. Ones where oh, if you play on hard, you don't unlock normal and easy either. You have to play it like 17 yeah. times to beat it. Wow. Well, I'm sorry that you are doing that to yourself, Earl.
I mean,
it's fine.
I don't know if it's fine, but it
maybe.
I only hate myself a little bit when I finish playing it.
I think it's my least favorite in the series.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. It's a bad Resident Evil, but it's like not a, like he said at the beginning. It's not like a terrible game.
I think I'd be more forgiving of it if it wasn't like 25 hours long.
Just do one character. That's all I've ever fucking done.
No, and it's been fine. I don't know if you've been following along, because my friend has been posting a ton of GIFs or videos of
the videos have been great.
Yeah, and I mean it's been fantastic to laugh at. The way I chalked it up was like, this is the Batman and Robin of the franchise. If it did not get this bad, they wouldn't have to reconsider what they did with 7 and like what they're doing with 8. So you got to appreciate it for that, where it's like, okay, we made a huge boo-boo. Let's go back to basics. Let's try to narrow this down and focus on what makes Resident Evil Resident Evil. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's all I really got. I mean, if you hate yourself and you want a good laugh, it's not a bad way to spend the weekend.
I own it. I rebought it on the Xbox One. So, I mean, I guess it's there for me if I ever want to torture myself. Jeff, you play anything else this week?
Nah.
No. Earl, anything else?
I mean, no, I paid... Oh, Minecraft Dungeon. I guess that got an update. So some of that stuff seems to be improved. I think the biggest thing is... What was changed? I think the drops are just better, I think, is what we experienced.
Well, that would be nice.
I mean, it's a fun game. It's, you know, like, we completely forgot we were playing it, but it's a nice time waster, which is really what I'm asking for during this quarantine.
Tony, you play anything else?
Apex Legends.
Okay.
You do that already.
Yep. So did anybody play any of the demos? Am I the only one that went and played the demos?
I felt so bad because I'm like, I was the one who came up with the idea. And then like Monday came around, I'm like, crap, I was supposed to do something, wasn't I?
I downloaded 3 of the demos per Earl's suggestion. Skatebird, Raji, an Ancient Epic, and The Veil, Shadow of the Crown. Which one do you want to hear about first?
Shadow of the Crown.
All right. So, this is a blind action game.
A what?
You play as a blind princess. It is first person. And you navigate by sound. So, the screen is black with, like, little, like, sparkly circles, like, you know, the beginning it was like yellow, and then there was like a night scene that it was were blue circles, but there is no visual, there's nothing visual, like you can't see anything because she's blind, so you're navigating by the sound design, and then also like if you bump into stuff she'll be like, oh, not that way, and that's also how you have to fight. Like, I fought a wolf, by sound. This wolf attacked me. I had found a sword, after my convoy had been attacked, and, I killed a wolf that way. It is interesting. I do not want to play any more of it. Super cool concept. Like, the fact that somebody has designed a game around being blind, that's really cool. I don't think I could play more than the half hour of the demo that I played. it was starting to get a little frustrating where it was like, maybe if I was playing with headphones, it would have been a little bit better, but like she knows how to navigate because she's blind, but I don't. so like, she's like, oh, that was stupid. Like, shouldn't have done that. Like, also, I don't have the tactile feedback of the environment, right? Like, it's not only your hearing when you're blind that gets heightened. Like your feeling gets heightened as well. You navigate by multiple different ways. It's not just by sound. So, that one's a rough, interesting, but rough.
Don't play it, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I did not realize it was a blind action game. I guess that's not really a selling point, though. Like, there's no visuals here. It's just a black screen with some sparkles on it.
I mean, it's a good way to save money.
It is. And, like, to be fair, the story seems interesting. Because you're blind, like, your father, who was the king, kind of kept you locked away. Like, didn't really bring you out to... And then when he dies, your brother becomes king, and he kind of ships you off out of the way as well. So, like, the voice acting seemed pretty cool. Like, the concept here seems interesting. Like, I feel that it was her brother that actually attacked her. There's some, like, hints at that. So there could be a cool story there. It's just, I don't think the gameplay is for me. I played Skate Bird, which is Tony Hawk as a bird. It's really bad. It has a neat look. The camera is awful. The controls are awful. But
is the main character Tony with an I and then Hawk, and it's an actual hawk?
No. That would be awesome. That would be awesome, but no, you're just a bird.
Not even a hawk, though. Not even a hawk.
Yeah, you're like
gotta be a hawk. I mean,
you're like a canary or something. I don't know. Like you're like a little bird, not a big. Like you're a little bird.
You're like Tweety.
Yeah, something like that.
Tweety
like,
Hawk. That's who you are.
Like a baby pigeon or something. I don't know. Yeah, that game looks really neat, but it controls like garbage, and like I was not having fun playing it. It was more frustrating. Like the camera was all over the place, and I couldn't get it to work right. And if you've ever played Tony Hawk, like that's a big part of it, is being able to kind of control the camera and have good control over the skateboard and the tricks. And everything felt slow and janky with this, and looks good, but nothing else there. And then the last one I tried, it was called Raji, an Ancient Epic. It's a 3D action platformer, very pulled out perspective, like very far out. Like if think those Uncharted shots that like where they pull out and you see Nate on like a on the cliff, and he's kind of like making his way over. Like you're doing the motions, like you're moving Nate on the cliff, but it's like this big wide panorama. It's kind of like that at all times. So Raji, who is this Indian girl that you're playing as, she small. She's not very big on the screen. Combat's okay. It's combo based. I thought it looked like Diablo in the trailer for it, but it's more more regular action combat type stuff, like press B X for a short attack, press Y for a heavy attack. There's a dodge button. You can combo. Platforming though is fun. It's very Prince of Persia-y. And the setting is pretty interesting. It takes place, I believe, in India. It takes like it's kind of centers around Hindu gods and goddesses, which isn't something you normally see in games. So that was interesting to kind of like dig into, and they give you some background on some of the gods and goddesses there. So it was pretty cool. That's one that I think when it comes out, I will actually play. It is definitely the most polished of the three that I played. So, that one looks like it has potential to be good though. And those are the demos that I tried.
Thank you for your service.
These are my favorite things. Do you get to keep them, or was it just like, once Monday rolls around, you can't pay them anymore?
No, so I also forgot to play them, and I actually played them last night, so.
Oh, okay.
So
I just screwed up by not downloading them at all.
Yeah, so looks
or
like.
Not, as it sounds like.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, there might have been something else on there, like maybe like Destroy All Humans, I think, had a demo up, and could have tried that out. Well, that game's now out, so.
Is this a remake of the original?
Yes. I hear it's good. I don't know. I never played the original one, but I hear this one's a good remake of what was at the time a B tier game.
Right, I think that's one of those games. If you wait a couple months, free on Game Pass.
Yeah,
just saying.
Or super cheap.
Right.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait on that one. And that brings us to our Hall of Fame.
Ooh,
we need like a theme song.
Yeah.
So we're each going to bring a game and induct it. I guess we should go over what is in the Hall of Fame from last year. Super Mario Brothers 3, The Legend of Zelda, Tetris, Jungle Hunt, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, StarCraft, Contra, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Miss Pac-Man, and Super Metroid. So the four of us are going to induct one, and then we have a bunch of suggestions from friends and listeners and forum subscribers. So we'll bring those up after we go over ours. Jeff, you want to kick us off?
Sure. I think for my choice, if you grew up in the 90s, there's no way you're going to argue with this one. I think the series keeps getting better to this day, but, you know, I'm going to go with the one that started it at all, and that is Mortal Kombat.
Ooh.
I mean, again, if you guys were there, you remember this was a fucking big deal.
Get over here.
You know, it exploded in the arcades. The home, like, console release was a huge fucking deal. Like, what system you got it on was a big thing. You know, it was the first, I think, first big game to, like, really add, like, digitized actors into the game. More importantly, like, really pushed the boundaries of violence in video games.
I was going to say, it's
ish. It has blood. Oh my god.
It's the creation, it's partially the reason for the creation of the ESRB.
There's that, and there's just no overstating the cultural impact it had. It was fucking a huge deal when it came out. And it's still, you know, it's still going strong to this day. Like, I think the best one is probably the newest one, 11. I think my favorite one from that time is 2, but I gotta give credit to the original.
It was cheating, but I do like Ultimate.
Yeah.
Was that 1, 2, and 3 together?
Kind of.
Or it was like all three of the characters?
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, no, I no dispute for me on that.
How dare you, Jeff? I'm offended.
I wonder if, like, people who are not alive when that came out, like, really get, like, how fucking, like, awesome Mortal Kombat was when it came out. Like, I'm not a fighting game person at all, and it's still, like, very fond memories.
It's the one fighting game that transcends, like, the rest of them. It's hard to, like, if you're not a fighting game person, quote unquote, it's hard to play them. But everybody knows Mortal Kombat. Everybody's tried it at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I would say, behind Smash Brothers in terms of, like, pure name recognition. But yeah, I mean, you think about the fact that it is, oddly enough, again, if you talk about the 90s, it was one of the biggest video game franchises of the time. It had 2 movies, it had an animated series, you know, it had a ton of spin-off games. It remains huge. I think what sometimes gets missing is it is the best-selling video fighting game franchise of all time. Well, again, outside of Smash Brothers, and it's also the best-selling franchise in general right now. Like, it outsells Street Fighter, which I think Street Fighter kind of gets the, it's the fighting game, but Mortal Kombat trounces it.
It's more inviting. It's just more inviting to, like, the casual player. Like, it's easier to play.
Yeah, I can't figure out Street Fighter.
And
I think...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and I think one of the things that you didn't mention is at the time, it was one of the first fighting games that actually tried to simplify that, you have to have these complex inputs to do something, where it's like, no. You can press forward, up, down, left, right, and you'll do an attack. It's not like you have to know this quarter circle, half meter thing. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the fatalities are hard to pull off, but yeah, generally it's like, and then, like, especially like now, it's like, if you know a couple different moves on your controller, like, that kind of apply to most of the characters in a lot of ways, you know what I mean? Like, you know, back forward button, that's gonna do something, right? You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, I don't know. I really I enjoyed it at the time, and it's like, I kind of rediscovered it when the new ones started coming out. I was like, one, I think they really, like, reinvented that series in an awesome way, but I just think, in general, Mortal Kombat kind of rules, dude.
Yeah, I agree. Earl, what do you got for us?
I was also going to go in the 90s, something slightly different, but I don't necessarily know if the most recent one's the best one in the franchise. I don't even know if I could say the franchise got in bed with time, but it is one of those franchises that, I mean, I looked at this and I was surprised there wasn't an entry on it, but it has to be our favorite view, Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog.
How did I know Sonic... you were going to say Sonic the Hedgehog before you got to that part?
Sonic the Hedgehog, the first one?
Well, I was going to say Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Okay.
Fucking, if you guys keep saving me from having to do picks I would have done, thank you.
I mean, part of it, I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog 1 is like Super Mario Brothers, and that is an important game. I can't play it anymore.
Yeah,
that game without the spin dash, like, that franchise does not exist to me. So, it's always weird going back to the first one and realizing he didn't have that move.
That is one where it's like, if I were picking it, I would have chosen Sonic 2. Like, that's just... like you said, like, Sonic the Hedgehog does not play that well anymore, but 2 is still fantastic.
Like, I love the first level of the original Sonic, but Sonic 2 has way better levels all the way around. You know, as Earl said, better moves, better control, like, maybe better music, too.
It runs, like, way faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, better bosses. Just... I think they understood the concept. And, you know, it's a minor thing, but even going from, like, 3 stages per act to 2, it meant that you had more variety in the environment. And you kind of didn't have to stick with a gimmick that didn't work. You know, like, the thing is, especially, and I love Mario. I absolutely love Mario. But compared to that franchise, Sonic... The thing is, always had going for it, and I think 2 exemplified it, was that it didn't have to, it was never beholden to the staples of a platformer. It's not like a grass devil, then a desert devil, then an ice world, or anything like that. It's like, no, you're in a casino. You're in an all factory. You're in a factory. You're on an airplane. It's like, yeah, do whatever the hell you want.
You're in a chemical plant zone.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, like, Sonic probably should not be in all these places. He should have some type of, like, cancer or, you know.
Like, he is a blue hedgehog.
Blue tumor.
It's introducing stuff like that, and this was an introduction to Tails. You know, it is still, for me, one of the odder co-op game experiences in video game, because, like, the second player exists, but they don't at the same time. Because they can't die, but they can. And then the game never follows the second player. So, like, if you're Sonic and you zip off across the screen and the player misses a tube or the player doesn't... like, that player is just gone until they fly back onto the screen. Like, nothing happened. Some great bosses, you know, the introduction... I believe this was the introduction of Metal Sonic, the giant egg machine, you know, fantastic bonus stages. And again, I love Mario, but I still think Sonic always had the catchier music.
Oh, yes.
This game in particular has just, like, great tracks and great sound effects, like the when you get the fucking, like, a little bubble thingy. Like, I don't know, man.
And it has that, you know, like, because unlike Mario, like, the stages aren't timed. Your performance is based on how fast you cure it, not necessarily if you cure it in a certain amount of time. So, like, that water has that dun 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 dun, and it's like, I will still hear that music and freak out now. Where's my air bubble? I gotta get my air bubble. Hurry up. The fact that even after all these years, like, you could still kind of go through a stage and take a different path and find something new or exciting to discover.
Like, every Sonic level, like, in these old classic Sonics, there's gonna be, like, what, at least three, like, not three paths, because you could, like, do a million combinations of the paths, but it's, like, three basic paths through the level, right? Like, at least, it seems like. It's just crazy, like, you can always kind of find a new route through the level, which is, like, that's definitely unique to Sonic.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with that was, as I said, in the games, it's been harder and harder for them to replicate that.
Dude, like, I had a Genesis, I only had a handful of games on it, and this was by far, like, I played this game more than anything else on the Genesis. I fucking love this game. Good job, Earl. I back you on this one.
No argument here.
I guess I won't argue.
Tony was trying to think up an argument against
Sonic. I could
Sonic.
Come up with an argument for anything, but I won't.
All right, well, you guys all went 90s. I don't think mine was from the 90s.
Oh, God, yours is from, like, the 1890s, isn't it?
I was going to say, like, Chris, it could go either way, because it could be, like, early 2000s. I'm assuming it's going to be the 80s.
Fucking Jungle Hunt.
Yeah, we're going with the 80s. I talked with Jeff before. Although, this was 80s. It came out in 1991 in Europe, though. I had three choices coming in to today, and I've just made the decision just now. I'm going with Ninja Gaiden on the Nintendo Entertainment System, the first one. Classic action game from Tecmo, spawned multiple sequels there. And then went into 3D, where I don't think those games are... They are loved by many. I do not love them, but I think the 2D games are top-notch action platformers, super difficult too, super hard. But I remember I got this. It was one of the first two games I got. It was this and the Super Mario Brothers Duck Hunt package with my Nintendo, and I played the shit out of this until. I could basically beat it blindfolded. more specifically, this kind of... I love that it has inspired new developers. The Messenger, which came out, 2 years ago, I think? I've been playing that a lot again recently. And it owes everything to this game. Like, straight up, the mechanics that are in it are top notch. The combat is great. The platforming is tough but enjoyable. I think it's a great action game.
Also, was a very very early game to have cutscenes.
Yeah.
And They still look pretty great today. You can see on the NES.
Yeah, they had those.
Is that the word you'd use?
Yeah. I think they do look really cool. Yeah,
because
it looks like if you made like one of those retro games today, and you were like, okay, we're gonna use NES graphics, but we're gonna do things that the NES can't really do. That's kind of how Ninja Gaiden looks.
Yeah,
on the NES.
They made these like movie like cutscenes. Super big like character models in those cutscenes. They're static. Like there's some little animation in them, but yeah. And a story. Like an actual I wouldn't say great story. Like it's pretty generic ninja demon nonsense going on, but like an actual story. Like a lot of these action games, you get the story in the manual. Like, this gave you a story in the game. Like, every time you would beat a level, beat a boss, you would get, like, that cutscene. And that was, like, a huge payoff. Like, that was, like, an early achievement, right? Like, I get this cool thing at the end of the level. And because it was so difficult, it was like I'm only getting a little bit of it. Like, so when you finally did beat it, it felt like a giant accomplishment.
Yeah, no arguments for me. Ninja Gaiden is one of the top 10, at least for me, for sure.
Tony?
All right, so I haven't been going back and forth. I was trying to pick a particular entry from this series, but I think I have to go with the first one because it actually created the genre that so many other games have appeared in, and that game is Sid Meier's Civilization. So we're going back to 1991, which was the first 4X game. It was the first game to, you know, okay, you can explore the map, you can research technologies, you can expand your civilization, and you can just wipe out the enemies. That had never been done before in a video game. It was actually originally based on a board game, which was also called Civilization. But at this point, the Civ games have moved really, really far from that, from those roots. You know, increase in complexity and a lot of the original games were not all that hard. But it was the same basic principle that you have today, which is, you know, you get a settler, you found your first city, you build more settlers, you found more cities, you research technologies, you know, attempt to conquer the world. And you know, there's been so many games that have like tried to follow in the footsteps of this genre, and I just think it's a game definitely worthy of a Hall of Fame.
Oh, for sure.
I would say it's a game also about time travel, by which I mean if you start playing Civ, you will find that 8 hours will disappear very quickly. and I have never experienced that any other. Like, I love video games, I love to play them, but I have never had this thing where I would sit down and play and then look up and the clock would literally be like 5 hours later. Like, where did that time go? I have no idea what just happened. But every time I play Civ, this happens. Like, you literally have to set like an alarm clock to stop yourself from playing. Because you just click, 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 and it just keeps going.
It's one you don't want to start at like 11 o'clock at night because you're not going to bed.
Oh, it's 4 a.m. How did that happen? What did I just do? And I just started, didn't I? Maybe I didn't. These games are great. The hardest part I had was, you know, picking which one. I love most of them. I think there are a couple in there. Civ 5, for example, is probably a little... has some ideas in there that kind of ruin it, and I think Civ 4 just took Civ 3 and made it more complex, which was probably not the best idea. But I mean, any game in that series is really like the high watermark of the genre for whatever era it happens to be in. So you know, Civilization, my choice.
Nice. No arguments here. It is a
classic. I ban it.
You ban it.
I object.
What's your objection, Jeff?
He can't spell Civilization. That's his problem.
I can spell it. I just can't play it.
You could probably. Well, actually, it's an MS-DOS game. You probably can't play it.
Well, I have Civ 6 on Switch, and I like literally could not figure it out.
Yeah, well, I think that's what Tony was saying, though, right? Like, they started out way more simple and. I guess if you've been playing them like Tony has, like,
right.
You can make those adjustments, right? Like, to move forward.
Yeah, it's just changing, like, a couple of the rules. But the general gameplay is the same. But if you've never played one of those games, you're kind of lost in the woods.
Yeah. I mean, I played Civ Rev. That was, like...
See, I thought Civ Rev was a great game. I am surprised they left that concept behind because it was so simple. Like, yeah. To get into it, which meant that a game like Civ 6, which actually took a lot of elements of Civ Rev, is still like you can't start with that. Or if you are, you're going to spend a lot of time like reading and trying to figure it out.
That's what happened to me.
Which, you know, is kind of a staple of the strategy gaming genre. It's like, oh, I need a manual to figure this out. Which a lot of gamers would say, wait, I have to read something, and like, okay, I'm moving on. But the original Civilization wasn't like that. There wasn't that much to learn. Like, the only difference between the civilizations, for example, was aesthetic, like what color you were. Now there's like there's subtle differences, and you need to know what those are and what they mean, and that stuff's all harder.
Right, because like now when you're picking, right, like you could be picking one that specifically is tailored towards war or
right.
culture,
colonization or religion, yeah. or yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the original Civilization game, there are only two ways to win. It was either you conquer the whole world, or you build your rocket to Alpha Centauri and fly away, and that was it. And now you can get religious victories and cultural victories, and you can get a UN victory. Like there's a bunch of ways to win. So they've kind of added a lot of elements in that direction too, which I mean are all for the good. But you know, again, if you're just like hopping into the genre, you're going to be a little lost.
I like it. I like all four of these games. These are excellent choices, I think.
Some real winners.
Yeah.
Civilization.
Let's see if we can pick... Wow.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can pick a another winner out of the hat, though, here. We have a bunch of suggestions that have rolled in. Tony has some as well. We have Metal Gear Solid that came in from Javi.
Again.
Yeah, he's going to keep suggesting it. One day, maybe.
I will put it in if it's the Twin Snakes. It's a certain version of Metal Gear Solid.
I guess that one is eligible, so... Chrono Trigger also here. Adventures of Lolo.
Never heard of that.
It is a...
Heard of it, I've never played it.
It's a Nintendo Entertainment System puzzle game.
You're fine.
Did you actually say Nintendo Entertainment System?
I did, didn't I?
You did.
GTA 3. Diablo 2. Let's see. Here is a bunch of choices. Halo Combat Evolved. Deus Ex. The original one. Half-Life 2. Galaga, arcade, Crash Bandicoot.
It is so weird to think of some of those games as retro now, but yeah.
Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog. I guess the original.
That's disqualified.
Yeah. Let's. Well, sorry, Professor Smash. We're gonna cross off Sonic. Dragon Quest. World of Warcraft. Metroid Prime.
Oh, okay. Back up a second. I'm curious about this now.
Yep. We're backing up.
Oh, did I break up?
No. Yes, you did.
Oh, I was saying, how would we classify World of Warcraft?
Well, technically it came out...
It came out in 2005, I think. Well, 2004, one of those things. I know it was out when I was in college.
2004, so it's technically... eligible.
It's retro, but it is an open game. Like, it's so much of an open game that they re-released it as WoW Classic because it's so different than when it released. So I don't know how that works as far as like
this.
Yeah.
Let's shelve World of Warcraft for right now. I don't know if it's gonna like. Not disputing that it is probably deserving of eventually being in here. I just don't know what support it has from us anyway. So let's shelve that one for right now along with the other Sonic. Metroid Prime, Super Smash Brothers Melee, Pong, Monster Rancher 2, Harvest Moon, and Pokemon Gold and Silver, and Tony has some suggestions as well.
Oh, yes, I do have some suggestions. Although some of those seem pretty compelling to me. I've got Doom, Streets of Rage 2.
That's a good one.
Prince of Persia, Tecmo Bowl, GoldenEye, Civilization, Star Control, and a couple that don't actually fit. Mass Effect 2. I don't know when this game came out. Ratchet and Clank, A Crack in Time?
No, that's a PS3 game.
It's a PS3 type, yeah. Yep.
And what was Mass Effect 2 was also of the 360 games. So.
Yeah. I mean, that does. I mean, yeah, Mass Effect 2 is 10 years old. Like,
yeah, Mass Effect 2 would be like near the top of my list, but it's not eligible.
Tony has that one docked for when we
exactly. Wait, I have it on my calendar for 5 years. Now,
when we allow that in. All right. That everything? Anybody else get any suggestions?
Nah.
What jumps out at you guys from this list?
Okay, there was one in particular that jumped out at me, and it's because of who we are.
Yeah.
And that title is Halo Combat Evolved.
Yeah.
I think we are all generally Halo fans, and I think in terms of shooters, that game made the console shooter. Like,
yeah.
If that game hadn't come along, that genre would not be what it is now. Like, it proved that it could work at a point when nobody believed that shooters should be on a console. Like, everybody thought mouse and keyboard, obviously, because that's the best way you could play a shooter. But that game, you know, it figured out the control scheme. It figured out how to put it at an FPS where you could actually play it on a console. Like, it did it. The twin sticks. I think the only other shooter I'd played on a console that I'd actually enjoyed before then was GoldenEye.
Yeah, but I was gonna say,
try to play that now without the twin sticks, and it feels super awkward.
But I was gonna say, I feel like you'd put in GoldenEye first for that reason, and that was one of those that popped up and kind of stuck out as well. And I think along the same lines, I think Metroid Prime sticks out as far as like that whole using the first person perspective as something new and different on the console space. The only reason I would ixnay Halo Combat Evolved is for the same reason I picked Sonic 2 over Sonic, in that Halo 2 is better in almost every conceivable way.
I guess I just when the game comes along and invents something as opposed to just refining on it, I think that's better and more.
I like Halo 1 more also anyways, but
yeah, I mean Halo 2 is not a finished game. Like if you really want to get into it, like it adds the multiplayer aspect in a way that hadn't been done before, but the campaign is completely unfinished.
Yeah, I mean there's arguments for both of those Halo games being on being considered.
I like where Earl's going though with GoldenEye and or
no. See, I don't like GoldenEye because it doesn't hold up. Like if you go back and play GoldenEye now, you're like, this feels like trash. It feels bad. Whereas the other games on our list, like games like Mario 3 and other ones, you go back and play, you're like, this game is really good. But you're like, GoldenEye made a lot of weird decisions that feel odd now.
And that is fair, but I think like, you're getting Hollywood fans. Hollywood fans are based off of like what you accomplished in your time. Like, it's good that game built on GoldenEye and improved on what it did, and we're like, some of this does not work. I mean, part of it was the weird control. Like dual stick shooters now are kind of the norm. We didn't have dual sticks back then, so they made the best of it. You know, like you mentioned, multiplayer on a console, having that 4 players on the screen, having different environments, having, you know, being able to kind of have it asymmetrical, not necessarily in what we think of now, but the fact that like, not everybody had the same weapons and not everybody necessarily had access to the same weapon. The different types of modes and variety they offered up in that space. But I am going to shelve GoldenEye because I do think it's something to revisit later on. I do think See, I also want to shelf Halo for the same reason, because I think that's one that we should admit, but I'm okay with it.
You know what holds up is Metroid Prime.
Yes, we have not discussed Metroid Prime here, because I think it is, I mean, it's a different conversation in Halo and GoldenEye, but I think of the three, it is the best game.
Ooh.
Yeah,
ooh.
I mean, I think easily, no. But
no. Oh, I think Metroid Prime is easy
wow,
to
I can't
best
believe
it
out. Oh. You might have made an argument for me until you said that. Now I'm against it.
No problem. I'm sorry that this is the very first person experience here.
It's not. No.
It is.
Sorry. You took like a legendary game and like, oh, this is better. This is way better. No, I can't. Sorry, Earl.
I don't like. No, it's I don't not like Prime.
Oh wow. Okay.
I'm not opposed to like, you know, listening to an argument for it. Like I personally don't like the Prime series, so.
Okay. So can we kick Chris off the show? I know he hosts
no,
and
he
edits and everything.
No, he edits it. Just like,
you know,
we have
so people could actually listen to it. But
we'd have to do work.
All right, here's what I need you to do. I need you to read me all the games again.
Sure.
Then, oh my god.
So like, this has to be like a consensus pick then, right? So that takes Metroid Prime off.
Yeah, I think we're split on that one, right? Like I don't think. I think Tony and I would. Well, Tony said he'd listen to it, but then you killed
not
it.
Not anymore.
So,
you ruined it. Sorry, girl.
We might have to revisit Metroid Prime.
We are going to revisit Metroid Prime.
Like, not as one of my individual. Really yeah.
I think that's better. I think Jeff loves Metroid, and having it forever attached to his name would be great. I don't want
I mean,
to
mean, who did Super Metroid then? Like, I know it wasn't me.
Super Metroid was a user.
That worked for me, thank you.
Yeah. And also, that excellent choice. Super Metroid's a great game.
I think Metroid Prime's even better, but...
I can't wait until Metroid Other M gets in.
I like Metroid Other M more than the Metroid Prime games.
I would push to not allow that, to be honest. But I don't think it's actually a bad game. I just wouldn't allow it. I just think it's good.
It's not a bad game. I just want it out. It's not on my time.
I mean, it's not a Hall of Fame game.
I think we're split on Halo, we're split on Metroid, and possibly split on GoldenEye.
I don't think that we're gonna come to any agreement on GoldenEye or
Halo
or Metroid Prime. No,
I think we can agree on Halo.
I could agree, but I feel like maybe there's something else out there. I feel like I need. A bunch of names read to me once again.
I will read them over again. Metal Gear Solid. Chrono Trigger. Adventures of Lolo.
That's not going to happen.
GTA 3. Diablo 2. Halo, which we just discussed. Deus Ex. Half-Life 2. Galaga, StarCraft, nope, though I excluded StarCraft, so that's already in. Crash Bandicoot, we're excluding Sonic the Hedgehog, Dragon Quest, we're excluding...
And that's just the original?
Just the original.
Okay.
I wouldn't go with that one. We're excluding World of Warcraft, Super Smash Bros. Melee, Pong... Monster Rancher 2, Harvest Moon, Pokemon Gold and Silver, and then the ones that that Tony has.
Right, which I don't think you're going to add a whole lot here.
GoldenEye.
A few of them that are ineligible. Yeah. Prince of Persia, Tecmo Bowl, GoldenEye, Star Control. Apex Legends, by
bunch,
the way.
Bunch of trash.
Just to clarify here, when we say Prince of Persia, which one do we mean?
I think that means the original Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
And that's not the one I would go with.
No, I would have picked the GameCube PS2
Sands of Time.
That would be an easy slam dunk for me.
Yeah, yes. I would love
that. That's a great game. That really is.
Just do that.
Oh, and
fuck your picks.
You said Doom too, right? Just not Doom 2, but you said Doom.
Doom. Yes, Doom.
Doom.
Also. All right. Yes. All right. Hear me out. Like, these are the ones that, like, for me, Doom and Galaga. I'm not going to explain it beyond that. I'm just going to say those two words.
I mean, I'm I I like both those games.
They're good games. It's fine.
I am going to say, if it's not going to be GoldenEye, if it's not going to be Metroid Prime, based off of this list that we have, it is going to be Halo for me.
Yes. How dare you do this to me?
Okay, because I wrote it down. Metal Gear Solid, I think, is a good choice. I think that will come up again. I think I Chrono Trigger, I assume somebody's going to have Prince of Persia. Like I said, if it stands the time, I'm in 110%.
Yeah.
The original, but stands the time, I'm here. GTA 3, I feel like it's the closest second for me as far as like the impact on the industry that it has with Halo.
Yeah, that's one that we could definitely discuss. I think it is the weakest of the three GTA games from that era,
but much like Halo, it's...
Yeah, like the argument that Tony used for Halo, I think applies to GTA 3. Like,
I think it applies to GTA 3 more so than Halo. Because, like, I mean, what is it open world these days? What is it, like, you can do what you want? Like, we talked about Ghost of Tsushima, Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs, all of these games that are kind of built off of, like, what GTA created, 17 years ago? 18 years ago?
Something like that. I don't have the date in front of me.
It's either 2001 or 2002, I think.
Grand Theft Auto 3... is 2001.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I am good with either of those. Or you know, if Jeff wants to... Jeff did not want to expand on Doom or Galaga, but if he wanted to, I'd be...
I mean, both kind of are very early examples of their genre and are still awesome. Like, I played Doom 1 and 2 earlier this year. It's still great. I've played Galaga 89 this year. It's a fucking amazing. I don't know. Like,
both are great games, yeah.
All right, I'm going to say this. I think this is the argument. If you look at a list of Hall of Fame games from the Perfectly Saint show, one without Halo in it is weird.
But why does it always come back to fucking Halo, man?
Because we all like Halo.
But I don't disagree with that, but I also think that that's one of those games that I think eventually will get in from one of us.
And now is the time.
Do you want it to just be... I mean, but would you not want it to be something associated with somebody's name in particular? Or just like...
I think this game represents all of us.
I think, as opposed to,
I don't know if it represents all of us, but...
Like something like Civilization is obviously something that I would put in before anybody else would. Like, if like, Chris is going to put in some random game from the 80s way before any of the rest of us will. Like, there are games that fit one of us really well.
Yeah, but okay.
But
no one
else. I think Halo is one of those series that we all play, that we all super enjoy, and was really foundational in a lot of the way that we play games now.
Nobody else has any feelings for my beloveds on this?
Galaga or Doom?
I remember going to Coney Island, which was a hot dog restaurant, and playing Galaga when I was like 5 or 6. A lot. Like, I really liked it.
See, you have memories.
But I have absolutely no urge to go back and play it ever again.
It's like, if you walk into an arcade and you see Galaga, like, you throw at least one quarter its way.
I do not.
I mean, I don't have quarters on me, but
those kind of things don't, like, you know, nostalgia.
Okay. Just to throw some of these other ones out there to see if it, Half-Life 2.
I don't dispute that it is a great game. I have no love for it.
I hate the fans.
Crash Bandicoot.
Crash
Bandicoot.
Fuck
that
Crash.
Game is not good.
Jeff, did you have a counterpoint to that?
I didn't hear the one you said before Crash Bandicoot.
A Half-Life 2.
Half-Life.
Oh, yeah, I'd say...
Jeff doesn't care.
Neither of those. Neither. I've played Half-Life, but neither.
I'm just going to disqualify Dragon Quest on principle. I think like there are better games in that franchise.
Yeah, I think those games start getting better once they get out of the NES era. Like they're fine. They're formative, but I would not pick Dragon Quest 1 through 4. What else?
Smash Brothers, I think, will get there eventually. And it, this is probably going to say sound weird from a diehard Nintendo. I don't necessarily know if Smash Brothers is like Hall of Fame worthy.
I could listen to that argument.
I think it's a fantastic brand. I think it's a great game. I think it's a ton of fun. But I feel like it's one of it's kind of the same way that like, I usually joke. It's the same way that it's kind of cheating when you say like it has the best gaming soundtrack. It's like I would pick any one of the individual franchises represented in that and get like five games that are better than like a Smash Brothers. I'd rather have a bunch of Mario's, Zelda's, and Metroids, and okay, not Star Fox, but Fire Emblem in there.
Jeff's just like, please stop shitting on me.
Just nominate Star Fox next time.
I say we throw Star Fox Adventures on this shit right now.
I like Tony's argument for, you know, as a selection.
I think we're becoming a cliche with the Halo. I'm just saying.
Well, that but then it's over, Jeff. Like,
yeah, I know.
Then
you might as well get it out of the fucking way.
But yeah, that's I mean, over. To be fair, there's only one other one that could be nominated, and it can't be nominated next time. So.
That's true. Well, I don't know. I think yes. Right now, there's only one other one that would be able to be nominated. But yes. I mean, I think 3 and Reach. There's an argument to be made when we get there.
Yes, but those. Right. But that's not for right. a long time.
Yes, that's
come,
that's so. Years down the road. I like the idea of, you know, for, I mean, before you are all, we have been associated with Halo for a decade. Sometimes unfairly. also sometimes out of just compromise. But
yeah,
the podcast Halo.
Yeah. I do like the idea of it coming from us though, that like, hey, we came to a conclusion that this one deserves to be here. It's out of the way. It's not tied to any one of us. Like, think Doom, Jeff, maybe comes better from you.
Yeah.
Whereas, like,
I'm also really curious now. Like, how many of these games are actually going to show up next time, or is it just going to be? Like, eh.
Right.
I think I know what I'm picking next time, and it's starting to piss me off that no one has picked it for me yet. So I'm just going to fucking do it.
I'm slowly making my. I talked with Jeff. On Tuesday, and I'm like slowly making my way up the calendar, like up the years.
I think you gotta start with the foundation. Like I don't know. Everything I've picked, I think, has been pretty early so far. I don't know.
And I will say this, even though this also fits with GTA and Metroid Prime, is that we are doing up until the 360 PS3. GameCube era. I do think we also should have games era for them. Like right now, we don't have many games in that 2000 era yet.
I just, no. To me, it feels weird to like be representing that shit when we haven't, like, you know, we're just filling out the early. I mean,
well, I mean,
be my guest to put one in there just for, you know, just
shits and giggles.
Yeah, I'd be skipping ahead or something. Like
and I get your point.
I'm gonna do it eventually. I'm gonna drop Animal Crossing or some shit on you guys.
Yeah, I get your point, but I think the counter to that is like, I use Nintendo's Virtual Console as an example. It means you're just gonna kind of go through the same stuff that people would expect. Like at some point, you have to, because it's gonna be like, okay, you need Mario, you need Zelda, you need Sonic, you need Tetris. And yes, I've nominated some of these games myself. You're gonna get like, you know, you're gonna get like Resident Evil. You're gonna get Final Fantasy VII. Like, there's just a bunch of games that I feel like should automatically just be enrolled at one time to get that out of the way. and it, cause then I always wanted to look at this as stuff like Chris examples where he picks like not obscure but these really old games that have been off the time that don't necessarily get that recognition, and that's kind of cool when that happens. And I guess what I'm arguing for is, like, we should just throw Halo in here so we don't have to talk about it in the future.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Star Fox Adventures it is. Cool.
All right. So the group choice was Star Fox Adventures.
Awesome. Good talk, guys.
So he's like, what? Halo CE.
I fucking love that game, by the way. Like, that game got so unfairly shit on, in my opinion. But
I love Halo.
I do too. I'm looking forward to a new Halo this year.
More Halo.
That's
Jeff's saying it's fine, but he'll sit there and play a bunch of it with us this fall.
Yeah, sure.
For free.
All right, so there are our five: Mortal Kombat, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Ninja Gaiden, Sid Meier's Civilization, and Halo Combat Evolved are the first half of our 2020 Hall of Fame entries. We'll be making more come December, but none of these franchises are eligible for that round.
Civ 3 will have to wait.
Civ 3 will have to wait. Halo 2 will have to wait. Although I don't think we're gonna have that Halo conversation for a while again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be harder to justify Halo 2 after putting Halo 1 in. But that is a conversation for another day.
Yeah. I don't think we need to have that conversation in December. We won't, because it's not eligible. All right. Well, I am going to be in the mountains next weekend. You guys are free to record whatever you want.
Week off, everybody. Week off.
Or take the week off.
We're finally going to record the Metroid Other M Appreciation Podcast. We're going to come next week. Everybody's going to share their best memories, their finest moments of Samus' greatest adventure.
I'm going to have to get COVID somehow before
this. So you don't have to talk about Other M, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well... Earl,
you Jeff on a ventilator in the hospital.
I hate Other M. I like Other M, but
it's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. So, I don't know. Maybe Earl will record a love fest to Other M. They'll be on the feed. Otherwise, if not, maybe we'll be back the week after. I will have new games then. I will have Deadly Premonition 2.
I heard that's a great game that runs smoothly.
I can't wait. Actually, I believe I should probably pop it in and at least get the small update that they've done on it so that it runs a little bit smoother. I'm sure we'll have some other stuff. Total War is coming. Yep, that should be out. If we don't record next week, then maybe we will have something on Total War. Maybe. Let me see. 13th, right? Yep. So Tony might have just enough time to play a little bit of it before.
I think I might have that week off. So.
Okay. So we will be back at some point in the next couple weeks. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.